Save big money at Menards. We're your destination for concrete landscaping blocks. We have the largest in-stock selection ready to take home today. Get free estimates fast using our easy do-it-yourself landscape design program in-store or on Menards.com. Save big on landscape products at Menards, America's number one home improvement retailer for customer satisfaction, according to J.D. Power. Visit JDPower.com for details and Menards.com for deals.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary on this Wednesday. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in today. The dust has settled, so we're going to look at NFL free agency and MLB free agency. It's wild that one of those is almost done before the other one, but that is what is coming up on the show today. So let's dive right in and talk some football, shall we? All right, so now that the dust has kind of settled on NFL free agency, thought I would just run through the big news of the last few days in the football world and just give some thoughts on everything that has gone down. And I think the one that caught the most attention over the last little bit is Justin Fields on his way to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Such a low price to pay, first of all. It was, I think it's a 2025 fifth that could turn into a fourth if he plays 51% of the snaps, which, by the way, he should, but we will get to that in a little bit. This is a really, there's a lot of different layers to this one, and very few of them make sense. You get him basically for free for the Pittsburgh Steelers. So for them, like, this makes all the sense in the world, right? Like, the quarterback position was, I would say, an area of weakness a season ago for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We said as much on this show several times. So for Pittsburgh, this makes sense. Like, go out, make this move. It's basically free. Why not? Right? So that makes complete and total sense. He should start over Russell Wilson. There is no question about it that he should start over Russell Wilson. And I believe he probably will in a group chat with some NFL watching friends. And the question was posed, all right, how long till Fields actually starts? I said 3 games. First game is bad. So you know what? Give him a chance to bounce back. Like, basically 3 strikes, you're out. And I think Russell Wilson is going to whiff strikeout. So that's where I am at with Russell Wilson. Fields 100% should be the starter. There is no question in my mind that there is upside there, even a little bit, which there isn't with Russell Wilson. Fields is basically what Russell thinks he is at this point. I'm not going to say he is like vintage Russell Wilson, because Wilson was better. And there is, like, there is a bit of an issue with Justin Fields in that we don't exactly know who he is, which is why the asking price is so low. People who believe in this guy really believe in this guy. And I admit I have had to temper my expectations a little bit and just my thoughts overall on this kid. I think he is very talented, but I do think that there are some flaws that need to be worked on. We'll see if Arthur Smith, who I think would have benefited from him in Atlanta, I think we'll see if Arthur Smith is able to get the most out of him in a way that Smith wasn't able to get the most out of someone like a Desmond Ridder or someone like that. But I just think that the upside is there, that you need to give this guy a shot with the weapons that they have, even with no Deontay Johnson, who's on his way to Carolina, which is a move that makes a ton of sense. Sorry about that. A move that makes a ton of sense. So just for Pittsburgh, that this one just feels like it makes a whole lot of sense, which means it doesn't make a whole lot of sense for anyone else. For Chicago, it is what it is, right? Like, it's this was just clearly not a quarterback trade market that was going to give you a whole lot of value. So them's the breaks, I guess, right? Could you have held out and maybe made a trade sooner? I guess maybe, but oh well. I don't get why other teams didn't do this, right? Like, I don't understand. Introduced softly the Raiders podcast last week. I don't get why the Raiders didn't do this. Even if you're bringing in Gardner Minshew, I don't get it. I guess the plan in Oakland, or sorry, old habits die hard. I guess the plan in Vegas would be draft a quarterback. My guess would be Penix. Hopefully not Bo Nix, but we'll get into that later. I guess they're thinking draft quarterback, Minshew's the backup and whatever. You could have gone Fields as the quarterback, Minshew's the backup, whatever, but then it's three and it's a bit busy. But still, I would rather have taken the shot at Justin Fields for a year than Gardner Minshew. I think we'll get into another quarterback deal that I think. But like for the Patriots, you could have very easily made a move for Justin Fields, acquired Marvin Harrison Jr., and now you have a bit of a foundation for this kid. Or just drafted a quarterback anyway, right? Like it just that there are so many teams where this move makes so much sense that I'm surprised that it came so easily to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Another player or another team that I think this would have benefited for, and they are the team that I have been shouting out for the from the beginning for this move, the Atlanta Falcons. They go out and give Kirk Cousins $100 million guaranteed. I think it's basically over the next couple of seasons, but still, I know that Kirk Cousins has something left, but I just don't know how much. And so if it were me, I would rather, because Fields, you have the team option after this, you may have to pay him. Hopefully you do have to pay him because that means he balls out. You go get Fields, it's for a year, it's low risk, and then you try again next year. Instead of locking yourself in on Kirk Cousins, I don't think it makes any sense to me. And I've said before that the Atlanta Falcons were a quarterback away from being a real dangerous team in the NFC. I just don't know if Kirk Cousins is that quarterback. At times he has been. And I can understand the argument from an Atlanta standpoint. Well, we just needed a quarterback. We need to know what we have in Pitts, in London, and in Bijan. So let's go out and just get a safe option. The problem is, the safe option ain't that safe anymore. Guy's coming off of a season-ending injury at 35. He's won one more playoff game than I have over the last 12 years, and his flaws are so clear. Like, if you need 6 yards on 3rd and 8, he's the guy to get you there. If you need poor decision-making late in games, he's the guy to get you there. Like, will they win more games this season than they did last year? Probably. But will Kirk Cousins let the Atlanta Falcons and the receivers and the talent that they have truly reach their full potential? I genuinely don't think so. I think that this is a GM thinking this is the safe move and not knowing that it isn't the safe move at this point. So I wouldn't have done it if I were Atlanta. I don't think it makes as much sense for Atlanta as going out and getting a Justin Fields or something along those lines. Some other moves. Chris Jones gets his big deal. He was a game changer when he came back for the Kansas City Chiefs, and especially in the postseason, he was that dude. And so this makes sense. They are going to keep the band together as long as they possibly can. They have already made a pretty good work of working around one big contract. What's another one? They have done a pretty good job of unearthing some talent in drafts. We have talked about the Patrick Mahomes trade tree before, and the Tyreek Hill trade tree, and how they've been able to spiral those things into different opportunities and different players that have led them to this championship success. So they just have to do more of it now, with Chris Jones there. The Panthers send Brian Burns to the Giants. It's a second and a fifth round swap this year and a fifth round pick next year. This is horrendous for the Carolina Panthers. And I understand the logic. They need to surround their young quarterback with more talent. And so they went out, they strengthened the interior of their offensive line in free agency. They made a trade that acquired Deontay Johnson from the Pittsburgh Steelers. So now you have a weapon for Bryce Young, and in theory, some help on the interior of the offensive line for your tiny little quarterback to be able to get a bit more room to throw over the top and over the middle. So you're freeing up some space to do that. I understand it. But this is well short of what it has been reported they could have got from the LA Rams, which was multiple first-round picks not that long ago. And the deal that he signs was incredibly reasonable with the Giants. It doesn't make any sense to me. This was just a trade to make a trade. To not get a first round pick out of this when they don't have a first round pick this year is shocking and is almost malpractice. So while their heart may have been in the right place, their head fucked this up rather royally, I would say, for Carolina. It makes total sense for the Giants, though. This defense that was 21st in DVOA last year, they needed some help. They get that help. Burns is one of the top defensive players in this league. And when we do our difference maker show for the start of the regular season next year, he's going to be on it. He is that good. And so this is a really smart trade for the Giants. And then it's 5 years, $76 million guaranteed. Perfectly reasonable. So for the Giants, again, makes total sense. I just don't get why Carolina needed to do this move right now. Now let's talk to the team close to my heart. The Las Vegas, don't call them Oakland like I did a few moments ago, Raiders. They go out and add Christian Wilkins and Gardner Minshew, and they lose Josh Jacobs to the Green Bay Packers. Wilkins, I think, is a great add. When you think of how this team could be successful, if Wilkins is able to get that pressure up the middle and force a quarterback to drop back a little bit wider, that makes it a whole lot easier for Max Crosby coming around the edge to get that guy. And vice versa. If Crosby's coming around setting the edge, forcing the quarterback to step up in the pocket, boy, it sure would be nice for a Raider standpoint if he would step up into the waiting arms of Christian Wilkins. So to pay him as much as they did does feel like a bit of an overpay. But we have seen the impact that strong defensive tackles can have, right? Like, the defensive tackle position is having a bit of a resurgence with Jones, with Aaron Donald, who has just retired. With those guys, you are seeing the value of this position, that you are able to get to that quarterback up the middle right away. And so, again, a Raider defense that needed some help. Antonio Pierce is going to be able to get a lot out of this guy, I think. And the age makes it a perfect deal. He's 28 years old. You already have Crosby out on the edge. I think this makes a ton of sense for the Raiders. Is it a bit of an overpay? Maybe. But guy's 28 and one of the top at his position. So just go out and get that. At the quarterback spot, Gardner Minshew. Like I said, I probably would have rather Justin Fields. But this makes sense. If they still go out and draft a quarterback, Minshew can back up. He's got experience, whatever. But we saw he led a relatively high-powered offense with the Indianapolis Colts a season ago. It turned into a pumpkin a little bit at times, but overall, he performed, I would say, pretty well. One more time, apologies. So, I don't mind this move for the Raiders. Like, Aiden O'Connell very clearly wasn't it. Now, you give him a full offseason of hopefully progressing, a full training camp of hopefully progressing, and maybe he turns into something that can take advantage of the weapons around him. I'm not overly confident that that would happen. So the more likely scenario is Minshew starts this year. They draft a quarterback. My fingers are crossed for Penix in the second round, but I saw Daniel Jeremiah's mock had Penix going to the Raiders at 13, which might be a bit rich for my blood. That is that is college football playoff semifinal Penix, not necessarily national championship final Penix. We'll see what direction the Raiders end up going. But this doesn't stop them from going in any of them. If they don't get their quarterback, whether it be 13 or in the second round or wherever, try again next year. Hopefully Aiden O'Connell gives it another go and progresses a little bit. If Minshew starts both years of this contract, I don't think it's devastating for the Raiders. Josh Jacobs was a great Raider, and I really enjoyed him on being on my favorite team. It felt like it was time, especially after how the contract negotiations and stuff went a season ago. Obviously, different people in charge, yada, yada, yada. But it felt like it was time. And so now he goes to a Green Bay Packers team that I think puts him in a really good spot. Green Bay is, I don't know if they're getting an upgrade here. I think when healthy, Aaron Jones is really quite good. But it's just that roller coaster that you play with him. And not that Josh Jacobs has been the epitome of health always, but it just feels like it's a bit more reliable at this point to get him there. So it makes sense. From a Raiders standpoint, just to close the book on this, they sign Alexander Mattison. I don't think he's going to be the starter. I would guess now it'll be Zamir White's backfield. This isn't a strong running back draft class. Maybe they find something late. But I would guess right now Zamir White, probably that dude going forward. With the Raiders. So we'll see. I I like Jacobs to Green Bay. I think it keeps this offense going. And like I said, a bit more reliable having him in there than Aaron Jones, who was a little bit banged up and getting to that age you don't want a running back to get to. It also very clearly states that A.J. Dillon ain't that dude, right? Like that this was a big flashing sign like, hey, that guy, he ain't it. Ain't it. Nope. That's basically what that was in pointing to him. So we will see. For Aaron Jones, he goes to Minnesota. I think this is a significant upgrade for them, and I think makes a ton of sense to for them to do that. We'll talk about this a little bit. Let's lump them all. Let's lump in another one here with Saquon Barkley going to the Eagles. I understand running back is a position where you can draft a guy in the sixth round. He comes up and turns into a starter for you. But there are still levels to the running back position. And football teams, and especially with how close some of these teams have been and how close the margin of error really is in the National Football League, sometimes it's just good to have someone who's awesome everywhere, right? And we're seeing that with San Francisco. They have kind of just gone with the, let's just get as many talented people as possible and hope the chips fall where they may. And so I like the prices are making it make sense that you can go out and get an Aaron Jones, go out and get a Saquon Barkley. You're not ruining your salary cap or anything like that. If you're giving these guys like $9, $10, $11, $12 million a year, that's fine when the salary cap's 220. Like you're basically just eating up whatever the increase was and then still building the rest of your team. So I like this idea of going out. If you're Minnesota, you have Jefferson. Well, probably going to have a young quarterback in there. Why not go out and get someone who is one of the better running backs? The Eagles, you are in your win now window. Go out and get one of the top guys in his position at Saquon Barkley and just improve somewhere and hope that it raises the floor to the point where you become a championship team. So I think it makes sense for these teams to be doing this. Right now, Minnesota's quarterback is Sam Darnold. And now I am not as I can't quit Sam Darnold as everyone else is. I do think he has been in a couple of shitty situations. But again, this is like the Raiders where he can start for 6 weeks. And if he's bad, then you can bring in whoever that they draft, Bo Nix or whoever that they draft. That player can come in and take Sam Darnold's spot. Or Sam Darnold can quarterback for a year and let the kid redshirt. Like it, I think it makes sense for Minnesota to do this. It just can't be plan A. Like there needs to be a more long-term solution coming for Minnesota. Tampa Bay is bringing the band back one more time. Baker Mayfield last year was a great value. Baker Mayfield at $30 million. It's a bit pricey, but I don't mind it. It means you don't have to worry about the quarterback position for another few years. I think Baker has figured something out. Is he ever going to be elite quarterback that number one overall would suggest? Probably not. But I do think that he is someone that can just be steady. He's going to get off script a few times, but he is going to be steady enough that you put talented people around him. He's not going to screw it up. And so that's what Tampa Bay has right now. We just talked about what Atlanta is doing at the quarterback spot. I don't necessarily buy them still as the favorites in this division. I think this Tampa Bay team has a real shot of repeating as division champions. They won a playoff game last year. So I think it makes sense for this team to roll it back the way that they have. I think the steal of free agency, no pun intended, although it works, goes to the Pittsburgh Steelers, getting Patrick Queen on the contract they did. 3 years, $13.7 million, is a steal. I think that this is another difference maker. He is a leader on defense at 25 years old that you are bringing from your rival to your team to, again, strengthen an already strong defense, but a defense that fell off a little bit when TJ Watt went down with an injury late in the season. So I think that this now gives them a bit of a security blanket. If Watt goes down, he's not TJ Watt. Very few defensive players in the league are, but he is someone who I do think raises the level of this defense. And I do think that he's going to be asked a little bit more in Pittsburgh, and that's fine. But I think this is an incredibly talented linebacker who I think has a chance to really shine with the Steelers. I think this is a really, really big move for Pittsburgh. The Tennessee Titans are adding around their young quarterback as Calvin Ridley and Tony Pollard end up with the Titans. Makes sense. Like, let's see what Will Levis has. Neither, I think, are the most reliable. But I do think that this gives now a young quarterback some weapons. Ridley had some amazing moments in Jacksonville last year and some down moments in Jacksonville last year, but so did the whole team. And Pollard did kind of feel like he was not the same guy once the load was on him. But I do think he'll be a good complimentary back to Tyjae Spears. I don't mind this from Tennessee. I don't think it puts them in the world with Houston or the Colts or the Jags. Like, I still think of the four teams, they're not one, two, or three. But this will give you a bit of a better chance to see what they have in Will Levis. The main thing is the offensive line. I don't know if they address that fully, but I'm assuming they will get the pick of the litter with the offensive line here coming up in the draft. Flipping the notebook over here. Chase Young to the Saints. You love the talent with this kid, right? Like, he is so good, but there was way too many your controller is disconnected moments with the San Francisco 49ers in big spots with this team. If he was a productive player, they would have found a way to keep him, right? So this is kind of the last chance. He doesn't even get a multi-year contract. It's 1 year, $13 million. If he plays up to his potential, the guy is a game breaker. That is just how good he is. But he hasn't in a while. I am thinking that this kind of last chance you thing for him gives him the motivation he needs to go out and find whatever dog was in him in college and in his first couple of years as a pro. And he will be in the right system to do that. Dennis Allen, I don't think he's a great head coach. Man knows how to coach up a defense. And getting this kid in there, I think, is a really great fit for Chase Young and for the Saints. The Dolphins are taking a lot of hits. They've lost a couple of guys in the offensive line. They lost a little bit to the defense as well. They've added as well, but they've lost some. I think that this is a real interesting situation because no one got the ball out this season quicker than Tua Tagovailoa. That being said, no one was worse under pressure this year than Tua Tagovailoa. So I think this is a bad thing. Obviously, like, they've lost talent. That's not good. And they haven't replaced with anybody. Even worse. We'll see what they do in the draft. But they need to shore up this offensive line. They are right there with the talent they have. With Hill, with Waddle, with Achan, the nine other running backs that they have. The talent is there for this team to make a real run. I think Tua is still good. But he does need he needs to grow. And he needs an offensive line to help him. You have that, this team could win a championship. But right now, it doesn't seem like they have that. So this has been, like, if we were going to do winners and losers, this feels like a loser for Miami in a big-time way. And honestly, feels like they're one of the biggest losers so far. Buffalo hasn't, like, done a ton. But they're the ones that you got to catch right now. And the Jets, it feels like they've improved. Like, Tyron Smith and Mike Williams are really good ads for the Jets. Now, Smith has to stay healthy. But I like that the Jets are recognizing it wasn't just the quarterback that was the problem a year ago. Also, we don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to be coming off of his Achilles at 36 years old. So, either way, like, it's smart moves for the Jets. And I don't think they have closed the gap. Excuse me. Sorry, I apologize for that. I don't think they've closed the gap on the Dolphins, but I do think they're coming anyway. Derrick Henry to the Ravens was a no-brainer. This just makes, it makes too much sense. I've never seen thunder and lightning where the lightning, I guess, was the quarterback. That makes it a lot of fun. But I do find it very interesting and really intriguing. And this is a run game that will be able to break defenses down and then Derrick Henry just run all over them in the fourth quarter. That was kind of his specialty with the Tennessee Titans. I do think he'll be able to do that again. Even if he's not everything that he was, he's better than what they've had. And we talk about kind of raising that floor a little bit. That's what Baltimore needs to do. So I think this gives an already dynamic offense some real dynamic options here. They need to use them. And that was their issue last year in the playoffs where they just kind of went away from it. I think having Derrick Henry there kind of locks you in on that strategy. The Bears landing Keenan Allen, I think is really smart. Give Caleb Williams that foundation that we talk about, some weapons around him, what Carolina failed to do for Bryce Young. I think they've put themselves in a really good spot here with Caleb Williams. The last thing, I think NFL teams are telling us that there's value in a backup quarterback this year. Look at what teams have done so far with a backup. You have Wilson and Fields and excuse me. I'm very choked up about it. Wilson and Fields in Pittsburgh. Kenny Pickett in Philadelphia. Jimmy G with the Rams. Joe Flacco to the Indianapolis Colts. Jacoby Brissett to New England. Mac Jones to Jacksonville. Sam Howell to Seattle. We saw last year, quarterback play was putrid for a lot of the time. A lot of quarterbacks went down. We saw a lot of bad quarterback play. Teams are now recognizing that can't happen. Because good backups got the Browns into the postseason and cost other teams chances. The Chargers, for example. So I think you are seeing the value of backup quarterbacks and teams putting value on that position. So we'll keep analyzing NFL free agency as big moves happen. All right. I'm going to take a swig of water, and then we'll talk about some baseball. One of the last big names in baseball's free agency went to the Giants over the weekend, which has, I think, ripples across the sport. Let's get into, first, the Giants part of it. This makes so much sense. 2 years, $62 million. Guy just won the Cy Young. You're competing with the Dodgers and the Padres. Like, checks all the boxes, right? Like, and they've done a pretty good job of maximizing what they can get out of these pitchers. And so, like, if I am Blake Snell, the Giants are a team I'd like to go to. If I'm the Giants, Blake Snell seems to fit in with what they're trying to do. It feels like it's not my money, so it's easy for me to say, oh yeah, $62 million, low risk. But it does seem like low risk, potentially high reward for what this guy can be. This is one of the more talented pitchers in baseball. Health has been a bit of a question, but when he is out there, he is legitimately one of the best and can be a big game pitcher for you as well. So now for the Giants, you pair that with Logan Webb. I believe they were 1-2 in Cy Young voting last year. Pretty good dynamic duo when you have to face the Dodgers and, like I said, the Padres. Oh, and the team that won the National League a season ago in the Arizona Diamondbacks. And you go into a postseason series, if they get there, with Snell and Webb as your 1-2, you are feeling very, very good. And then if the Jordan Hicks experiment works out, where they're trying to turn the former setup guy for the Blue Jays into a starting pitcher, if that works, then all of a sudden, this is a really, really dangerous team in the National League West. And they have done a great job of adding here late in the spring and really kind of raising the level of expectation out there in San Francisco. And look, it's been tough, right? Like, they had Carlos Correa, and then the medical said they didn't. And they thought they had Aaron Judge for a moment, thanks to a John Heyman tweet, and then they didn't, and then Judge went to the Yankees. This is a big market team that has not spent in big market ways in a long time. And when they do, they win championships. So this is the type of move that Giants fans have been clamoring for, quite frankly, have deserved for a while. And this is a move that makes so much sense when you are looking at it from a Giants standpoint. For Blake Snell, like I said, I think it makes a ton of sense for him as well. For the rest of baseball, what the fuck? Like, the Bellinger one, I can kind of understand. Because a lot of the metrics kind of show, like, you know, a lot of the numbers were there. The hit profile isn't spectacular. So maybe this guy hasn't exactly figured something out. So you want to give it another year or two and let someone else figure that out? Fine. This one, I don't understand. Every Yankee fan should be furious that they couldn't top 2 years at 62. You're the Yankees. And this is such an obvious area of need, even before Gerrit Cole goes down with an injury. It was so clear that the matchup was right there. Yankees need another starting pitcher, another high-level starting pitcher, I believe. Blake Snell is a high-level starting pitcher. $31 million, you telling me you couldn't have gone 2-70, right? 2 years, $35 million a pop as the Yankees. Really? I don't buy that. This is This is a year the Yankees need to go all in. They made a big move, got Juan Soto. It looks like they have maybe the best lineup in the American League. But this pitching staff just seems set for disaster. Gerrit Cole is already going to be out a month or two at least. So, who's starting for you then? And even if Gerrit Cole is healthy, and this team gets to where Yankees fans want them to get to, and they reach the promised land of the postseason, who's starting game two? Gerrit Cole, game one, for sure. Game two, is it Stroman? I don't know, in 2024, don't know if I would go there. Rodon really doesn't feel like he's fitting in with the Yankees all that well. Got hit a bunch last year, didn't handle it well, and is getting a hit and bunch in spring training again this year. Nestor Cortez, great story a couple of years ago, missed all of last year with an injury. How, when you have Juan Soto in the last year of his contract, and you are appearing to go chips in the middle, an extra like $5, $10 million a season as the Yankees is keeping you from doing that? You'd sell enough jerseys to make that up in an hour. I don't get this from a Yankee standpoint. Astros, same thing, right? Angels, same thing, right? Like, we'll see what the Angels are probably not going to be very good. But, like, they have the money to do it. So I genuinely don't understand what has gone on here with these teams that has led us to Blake Snell getting 2 years at $62 million. If you don't want to go long-term with him, fine. But more than $31 million a year? Come on. Like, I honestly get the Blue Jays are kind of at the ceiling for what they can spend. But I would have done this if I was Toronto. Right? Like, just, you know what? We don't know what Gausman's going to do with the injuries. Manoah might just suck now. So we have at least one opening. Come on in. We'll figure it out later. Like, I don't get it. I think that this is... I think Boris wildly misplayed the market this year. And I think teams are trying to punish him. But I think it's gone a little far. Because this is a deal that makes sense for half of baseball to have made. I just don't... Baltimore should have done this. Don't understand it. Don't understand it at all. All right, it is preview time. Although we have had one regular season game in Major League Baseball. Every year with the previews, with every league, I like to, before we really dive in to what's going on now, let's appreciate the future. And so, for the first time, doing the MLB GOATs list. Who are the top 10 players in Major League Baseball history? No current players making this list. Coming in at number 10, Roger Clemens. By the way, my rules for this, if you have been tied to steroids, I don't totally care. If you were suspended, that is a knock against you. Roger Clemens, tied to it, don't believe he was ever suspended. So, he's able to make this list. The Rocket set the record for strikeouts in a game with 20, was the dominant pitcher of his era. And his era lasted a while. Now, was his ability to be dominant into his 40s pharmaceutically helped? Probably. Don't care. So were the hitters, as we'll talk about later. So, I think that this is someone who has to be on this list. When you talk about his time with Boston, just came to Toronto, won a couple of Cy Youngs and bounced, helped the Yankees dynasty, kind of like finish things off there in New York, went to Houston and did some pretty good things there. Like, just a dominant, dominant pitcher who felt unhittable basically every night he went out there. At number 9, this honestly feels a bit low. And maybe I'm going to have to go back and redo some of these. But it's Ken Griffey Jr. He didn't reach... If he would have stayed healthy his whole time, basically, if Cincinnati wouldn't have happened, and he just kept on his trajectory like he did with Seattle, we're talking about the greatest baseball player of all time. Maybe the most talented baseball player of all time. But injuries, lack of playoff success, although that doesn't hinder one of our guys toward the top, it just keeps him down the list a little bit. But still, genuinely one of the most fun players you will ever see play a game in any sport. At number 8, it's Mickey Mantle. Kind of the same thing. That this would be a guy considered one of the greatest players of all time if injuries hadn't crept in. And if you watch the movie 61, and believe it, not necessarily a documentary, but still a very, very good film. The guy could have probably treated himself a little bit better. But even with that, he was like the five-tool guy. With the power where he's chasing home run records, could steal 50 bases, and was an excellent defensive outfielder as well. He could just do it all at a time where the Yankees were the belle of the ball in Major League Baseball. At number seven, Pedro Martinez. No one mixed speeds better than Pedro. Like, there was just a stretch where he was utterly dominant. And you think about the era he was in. Steroids, Maguire, Sosa, Bonds, all these guys just mashing the biggest home runs you've ever seen in your entire life. And Pedro's out here with a sub-2 ERA, just making everyone look silly. He had some control issues early on in his career, figured him out, and turned it into one of the best careers the sport has ever seen. And still, his changeup might be the best pitch the sport has ever seen. So he comes in at number seven. At six, the longtime home run king, Hank Aaron, was more than just a home run hitter. And really, it is that home run record is not necessarily a testament to his like absolute brawn or anything like that. It is a testament to consistency over his career. This is someone who was just constantly 30, 30, 30, 30, 30 home runs until eventually he hit over 700 of them. And he did it at a time of incredible racial tension in an area that isn't known for being the most supportive, out in Atlanta. And so for him to be able to do that and put up the career that he did, he has to make this list. At five, Ty Cobb. Not going to make the Hall of Fame for great dudes, but in terms of baseball, he was one of the best. The guy hit over 400 three times in his career. I feel like that's kind of enough said. Again, like if you transplanted him into today, he's probably getting canceled. And we're talking about a completely different era, but of his time, he stands out. At number four, maybe the best pure hitter in the history of the sport, Ted Williams, makes this list. He could just do it all with the bat. And he just felt like one of those guys where even though he's hitting like 350 and then sometimes 400, it felt like he's always getting on base. And so because he was such a weapon with the bat, he deserves to be up here. Like I said, maybe the best pure hitter of all time. In at number three, it's Willie Mays. The ultimate five-tool guy. Defensively, oh, doctor, with one of the better defensive plays that we had seen for like 50 years. Offensively, over 600 home runs. Could run. All of these things that you want a baseball player to do. He is kind of the gold standard. It's why, like, when Griffey was coming up, he was compared to him. Trout, compared to him. All these different guys who are constantly at the top of the sport, he is always the measuring stick for those dudes. In at number two, it's Barry Bonds. Again, never suspended. So if Major League Baseball couldn't catch him for 20 years in his career, who am I to suggest that now? Well, now I've got you. One of, like, the best eye the sport has ever seen. And that was what made the run with all of the home runs so remarkable. Again, was there some enhancement? Probably. But you still have to have the eye. You still have to get the bat to the ball. And like his on-base percentage throughout his career is absurd. It's still more intentional walks than the entire Tampa Bay Rays team. But it was the unintentional intentional walks as well. He was not someone, even when he was chasing 755, he was not someone who was going out of the zone at all. He would walk four pitches. Yeah, I'll take a walk. That's fine. I'll keep that train moving. I'll steal 50 bases. Cool. Fine with me. He never expanded the zone. He had such an amazing view of the strike zone. And if you happened to creep into there once, he was hitting the tar out of that thing. So just genuinely the most dangerous hitter I have ever seen in the sport. And at number one, someone who's done it all, Babe Ruth. 714 home runs. And also was a very good pitcher. At his time, again, like adjusting for eras and stuff like that, he had more home runs than teams had in the sport at the time. He was just, he was a completely different cat. and one of those guys who is the one of the defining players of the sport. And so because of that, he comes in at number one. All right, that's going to do it for the show. Thank you guys so much. As you can hear, didn't come back from Mexico 100%. So that's why a lot has been delayed this week. But we're getting caught up over the next few days. We will have Dynamite, the Raptors podcast, coming out later on today. We're going to have a part two of this, hopefully, if this all holds, later on today. Looking at the top players in Major League Baseball today, plus looking at coaches on the hot seat, and a diary entry on this morning's game between the Dodgers and the Padres. So that is what is coming up. Blasty Banter coming out tomorrow, looking at what's next for the Calgary Flames, and a bit of a tribute to a fallen Flame as Chris Simon passed away. So we will have that for you as well. Friday, it is Fights in Football Friday. We will look at the free agency in the NFL through the fantasy football lens and through the NFL draft lens. And for the fights portion, there have been a couple UFC cards since we last spoke. So the fights that I want to see made, we'll look at the legacy of Mark Coleman, who is a goddamn hero after what happened over the weekend. And a little bit more on the road to WrestleMania. So that is what is coming up. Thank you guys so much for tuning in and putting up with me. Talk to you guys in a little bit. I'm out.